me pari sono a quant'altre d'intorno, d'intorno mi vedo, dal mio cuore l'impero non cedo, meglio ad una che ad altre beltà. La costoro avvenendo e qual dono, si galfato in fiora la vita. Penso di questa mi torna gradita, forse un'altra, e domani lo sarà un'altra, forse un'altra, domani lo sarà. Costanza tiranna dal cuore, detestiamo qual morbo crudele. Sol chi vuole si servi fedele, non va amor se non vi libertà. Se mariti il geloso furore, se gli amanti le smanie, cent'occhi ti sfido, se mi punge, una qualche beltà, ah sì, se mi punge, una qualche beltà.
Hello. This is Jim Ryan at Community Radio Yall with more John McCormick recordings. I don't know if you're aware that it's believed that up to 200 million of his records have been sold. 200 million records. This is an almost incredible figure for a singer who was in his absolute prime around the years 1910 to 1925, before there was ever radio or television. And he retired in 1938, and of course he died all of 70 years ago. There we heard John's 1913 recording of Questa o Quella from Verdi's Rigoletto. A good production of Rigoletto is a joy. The arias, the gorgeous duets, and of course the famous quartet are among the treasures of opera. I'll never forget seeing it twice in the 1 week in 1974 in Dublin and in Cork. Baritone Gabriella Floresta in the title role was just magical. In Questa o Quella, the tenor aria from early in the opera, the Duke of Mantua sings of his chauvinistic attitude to women. He believes, and I quote, "Fidelity is a tyrant. There can be no love if there is no freedom. I despise the rage of jealous husbands." Of John's recording of this aria, J.B. Steen wrote, and I quote, "McCormick is excellent. A philandering Irishman singing with wonderfully easy articulation and finely spinning rhythm." End of quote. The aria shows Verdi's greatness as a composer as well. The carefree flippancy of both words and music tells us all we need to know of the heartless Duke. This recording shows what a sweet, well-focused voice can achieve, even if it's not of Wagnerian proportions. Whether the band on the sinking Titanic played "Nearer, My God, to Thee" is uncertain, but John sings it superbly. He was firmly grounded in his Catholic faith, although he had lifelong friendships with those of all faiths and of none, and he was known for encouraging friendships among those of different beliefs. In his recitals, he always included at least one song with a religious content and was proud of the papal honours bestowed on him. In 1928, he was made a papal count in recognition of his great work for charitable causes. "Nearer, My God, to Thee," written in 1841 by Sarah Flower Adams, is loosely based on the story of Jacob's dream from chapter 28 of the book of Genesis. The music is by Lowell Mason. "Nearer, My God, to Thee, nearer to Thee, e'en though it be a cross that raiseth me, still all my song shall be, nearer, My God, to Thee, nearer to Thee." And here is this fine recording.
Nearer,
What a voice. When that was recorded in 1913, John was very near the peak of his vocal powers. Another recording which finds him in fine form is Moszkowski's Serenade. Moritz Moszkowski was born in Breslau in 1854 and died virtually penniless in Paris in 1925. He was mainly a prolific composer of piano music of a lighter kind. Today he is known for his Opus 15 Serenade, and which has been performed under many forms. One version was the song I Wave Beneath Thy Window, Love. This is the version which John sings with such a lovely relish. Look out for the beautiful mezza voce or half-voice notes towards the end. Fritz Kreisler accompanies beautifully, and the pianist is Tenny Schneider. What lady could say no to a serenade if it was sung like that? Beautiful Isle of Somewhere, with lyrics by Jesse Pounds and music by John S. Fearis, was published in 1911. John sings it with great feeling and sincerity. Of this aspect of his performances, Gerald Moore writes, and I quote, "The secret of John's hold on his vast public was his sincerity. If he could not sing a song with conviction, he would throw it away. Every song had to have some special message for John." End of quote. For myself, after many hours listening to his records, I find an intensity in his singing that draws me in and makes me want to hear more. It's not just the beautiful voice and the technical mastery. There's almost a bardic quality to his delivery of a song. And I came across what Max de Schauensee wrote, and I quote, "One can claim that John was first and foremost a poet, like the harp-playing bards of ancient Ireland. Like those minstrels, he had a story to reveal and an urgency to tell it. A story can be effectively communicated only if there exists a deep awareness of the colour and power of words. This gift McCormick had to a degree that was rare." End of quote. Like Coleridge's Ancient Mariner, he holds you as if by a spell. Even in the quietest songs, there's always an engagement and an urgency which holds you. And the first verse is as follows. Somewhere the sun is shining, somewhere the songbirds dwell. Hush then your sad repining, God lives and all is well. Somewhere, somewhere, beautiful isle of somewhere, land of the true, where we live anew, beautiful isle of somewhere. The Lily of Killarney by Sir Julius Benedict premiered at Covent Garden in February 1862. The libretto was based on Dion Boucicault's play, The Colleen Bawn. Benedict was German, born in Stuttgart in 1804, but spent much of his life in England and became a conductor in various London theatres, including Drury Lane. He was knighted in 1871. The tenor-baritone duet, The Moon Hath Raised a Lamp Above, from the opera, is a much-loved piece, even more popular in days gone by. Singing with John here is the stylish baritone, Reginald Verneroth. There's lovely singing from two voices that blend so well, and the singing has a timeless elegance. It's lovely to hear the marvellous ease of John's vocal delivery.
Raise a lamp above to light the way to thee, my Lord.
and then the moonbeams fall and spread their silver light o'er all.
But those bright eyes,
but
I
That's thrilling singing by any standards. Franz Schubert, who died in November 1828, aged only 31, wrote about 600 songs, many of them of surpassing beauty. Du bist die Ruhe is one of my great favourites. The lyrics were written by Johann Friedrich Ruckert. The opening words, in which the poet celebrates the peace and serenity his loved one brings him, are Du bist die Ruhe, der Friede mild. Thou art rest, gentle peace. Thou art longing, and what makes it cease. For years now, I've loved Elizabeth Schumann's recording of Du bist die Ruhe, but John's recording of it is a real gem. In his informative sleeve notes to the McCormick edition on the Naxos historical label, John Scarry writes, and I quote, McCormick's lovely legato and expressive pianissimo serve Schubert very well indeed. And you'll see why this is considered one of John's greatest Lieder recordings. And here it is.
Thy despair upon thine
On October 24, 2014, I went to Athlone with the John McCormick Society for the unveiling of a Rory Breslin statue of John. The fine sculpture is of a relaxed McCormick in a 1920s, 30s circular chair. It has the words of Il mio tesoro, probably John's most famous recording, running from the base up around the chair and up into the manuscript in his hand. And the Count John McCormick Square in the town was renamed in his honour. In Athlone Castle, a permanent exhibition of McCormick memorabilia was opened. It has some marvellous items given by the old Athlone Society, the John McCormick Society, and by McCormick family members. This fascinating exhibition includes a toy pin, a gift from Nellie Melba, and a picture of John with Sergei Rachmaninoff and Fritz Kreisler, a wax cylinder, some of John's earliest 78s, and much, much more. And the McCormick Walk takes in so much throughout the town associated with the great man. Their website is athloneartsandtourism.ie, and the museum in general is well worth a visit. All in all, it was a wonderful day in Athlone, a marvellous occasion for McCormick fans. And now back to the music. Rossini's operas, with their joy, zest, inspired mayhem and delightful music, have been a great joy in my life. I never tire of them. John's early recording of Rossini's duet, Lee Marinari, The Sailors, with his friend the baritone Mario Sammarco, is of the highest quality. There are two superbly sung high Cs from John in this recording.
Viva, 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 viva
Hello, you're welcome back to our programme of John McCormick recordings. I've enjoyed choosing them, and I hope you do too. Towards the end of 2014, I attended two very enjoyable recitals of McCormick recordings in Dungarvan, given by a friend of mine and great McCormick admirer, Murrish O'Keefe. I joined the John McCormick Society in Dublin and attended a wonderful McCormick recital given by long-standing Society member Sean Callan. Incidentally, the Society website, mccormicksociety.co.uk, is a treasure trove for McCormick lovers. It's one of the best websites I've ever come across. One of John's most popular songs was Kathleen Mavourneen. He recorded it many times over 30 years from 1904. It was written in 1837 by Julia Crawford, who was born in County Cavan about 1800, the daughter of a British soldier. She published a volume of Irish songs in 1840. The melody is by Friedrich Crouch. The acclaimed 19th century Irish soprano Catherine Hayes made it famous as her party piece, once performing it for Queen Victoria at a Buckingham Palace concert in 1849. In our song, a young man is singing to his sweetheart on the morning they are about to part, perhaps forever. John sings it with great beauty and taste in this 1927 recording. Teddy Schneider is the pianist.
The great dawn is breaking, the horn of the hunter is heard on the hill, the lark from her light wing, the bright dew is shaking, Kathleen Mavourneen, what slumber. How soon we must sever, oh, hast thou forgotten this day we must part? It may be for years, and it may be forever, then why art thou silent, thou voice of forever, then why art thou silent, Kathleen Mavourneen? Kathleen Mavourneen, the blue mountains glow in the sun's golden light. Ah, where is the spell that once hung on thy numbers? Arise in thy beauty, thou star of my night. Arise in thy beauty, thou star of my night. Mavourneen, Mavourneen, my sad tears are falling, to think that from Erin and thee I must part.
and it may be forever. And why art thou silent, thou voice of my heart? It may be for a year, and it may be forever. Then why art thou silent, Kathleen, my Morni?
I've seen Donizetti's The Daughter of the Regiment staged a few times, most recently in 2014 in the Teatro Real in Madrid. It was a good production with a fine tenor who coped well with all those high seas. I saw it with the Dublin Grand Opera Society in the late 1970s. Of course, seeing it in Covent Garden in 2007 with Nathalie Desai and the modern superstar Juan Diego Flores was a real treat. Although the nine high seas and the one aria did stretch him a bit. The part of Tonio in this opera is believed to have been one of John's greatest stage roles, and his recording of Per Viva Vicino a Maria from the opera is surely one of his best in opera. It's a model of its kind, and Nigel Douglas's comment about it, though quite technical, I think is worth hearing, and I quote, "It is a wonderfully cultivated performance, giving a fine demonstration of McCormack's exquisite piano singing, and one particular high B flat, cleanly attacked on an open vowel, and then reduced through a steady diminuendo to the merest thread of sound, is the sort of thing which only the rarest vocal technicians are able to achieve." End of quote. Something for only the rarest vocal technicians, he says. So, who better than John McCormack? And the ending of the aria on a pianissimo B-flat is described by Henry Pleasance as sensational. I once read that John's singing of Beethoven's song Adelaide was sensational, but sadly he never recorded it. Of my next recording, The Garden Where the Praties Grow, Douglas, who made many perceptive recordings for the BBC radio on some of the singing greats, wrote, and I quote, "For a perfect example of how this type of song should be put across, take McCormick's recording of The Garden Where the Praties Grow. With the opening phrase, he buttonholes his listeners as if he were joking with them in his favourite pub. And the story he is telling is a story that nobody in his right mind would wish to interrupt. If anyone not possessed of McCormick's sheer professionalism tried to pull off the same trick, he would find out fast enough that it's not as easy as it sounds. Here it is now.
Have you ever been in love, me boys, or have you felt the pain? I'd sooner be in jail meself than be in love again. For the girl I loved was beautiful, I'd have you all to know. And I met her in the garden where the praties grow. She was just the sort of creature, boys, that nature did intend. To walk right through the world, me boys, without the Grecian bend. Nor did she wear a chignon, I'd have you all to know. And I met her in the garden where the praties grow. Says I, me pretty Kathleen, I'm tired of single life. And if you've no objection, sure I'll make you my sweet wife. She answered me right modestly and curtsied very low. You're welcome to the garden where the praties grow. She was just the sort of creature, boys, that nature did intend. To walk right through the world, me boys, without the Grecian bend. Nor did she wear a chignon, I'd have you all to know. And I met her in the garden where the praties grow. Says I, me pretty Kathleen, I hope that you'll agree. She wasn't like your city girls that say you're making free. She says I'll ax me parents and tomorrow I'll let you know. If you'll meet me in the garden where the praties grow. She was just the sort of creature, boys, that nature did intend. To walk right through the world, me boys, without the Grecian bend. Nor did she wear a chignon, I'd have you all to know. And I met her in the garden where the praties grow. Oh, the parents, they consented, and we're blessed with children three. Two boys just like their mother, and the girl's the image of me. And now we're going to train them up the way they ought to go, for to dig in the garden where the praties grow. She was just the sort of creature, boys, that nature did intend. To walk right through the world, me boys, without the Grecian bend. Nor did she wear a chignon, I'd have you all to know. And I met her in the garden where the praties grow.
And there we had John, the storyteller supreme. Of course, the great artists in every sphere so often make it seem easy. Take, oh take those lips away occurs in Act 4 of Shakespeare's Measure for Measure and is one of just many lovely songs in his plays. The music is by the 20th century English composer Roger Quilter, known mainly for his art songs. The words are, take, oh, take those lips away that so sweetly were forsworn, and those eyes, the break of day, lights that do mislead the morn. But my kisses bring again, seals of love, but sealed in vain. In this recording, John catches the plaintive note exquisitely. The pianissimo, a very soft voice at the end, is a McCormick trademark. This is lovely singing, which I feel comes close to perfection.
Those eyes
Wasn't that lovely? And now we come to my final choice for this programme. The tenor baritone duet from Bizet's The Pearl Fishers is one of the most famous in all opera, at least in the recording studio. It's set in Ceylon, where Zorga and Nadir recall their first glimpse of the beautiful woman they saw in the temple, and they renew their pact of loyalty to each other. For this programme, I listened again to the marvellous Jussi Björling, Robert Merle version, and to many other versions of this duet. But McCormick, with great support from Samarco, sings with beauty and conviction, and it's a thrilling recording. His smooth singing line is a joy. Henry Pleasance wrote of this recording, and I quote, "The two B-flats, especially the coldly attacked first of them, are as thrillingly and lyrically perfect as any in the entire catalogue of tenor recording," end of quote. Pleasance wrote a book called The Great Singers, so coming from him, this is high praise indeed. And so I leave you with John McCormick and Maria Samarco in a fine recording of the duet from The Pearl Fishers. It's goodbye till the next time, when we'll have more McCormick recordings. I hope you enjoy this lovely duet. Goodbye.